Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget to check out our new blog. You can go directly there if you want to. You can go to jimsblog.biz, and that'll get you there. Or smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can find the blog there as well. Gary Moore is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust and former vice president of investments at Payne Weber before he started his own company to counsel to ethical and spiritual investors. He's the author of a couple of books, more than two books actually, but two of them I have in front of me: Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton, and Faithful Finances 101. Gary Moore, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. It's good to be back with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. Gary, we've got a kind of an interesting time in the life of the marketplace right now, don't you think? There are many exciting things going on, but there are also a few frightening things, aren't there?
Yes, absolutely, Jim. It's just, it reminds me of a great deal of the 70s in some ways, with rising interest rates, rising oil prices, probably increasing inflation. And, that none of that is good for the markets, of course.
Well, what are we going to do about it?
Well, I mean,
what are you doing about it?
Well, I'm not heavily invested in the U.S. market. You know that for 5 years, Sir John has told us that you don't want to get too heavily into the U.S. market. And frankly, he's been correct, Jim. We've been playing real estate trusts and international bonds and things of that nature. There's just a lot of money chasing securities right now, and that means they're not a bargain. You got guys like Warren Buffett out there looking every day, and when the best thing Warren Buffett can find is an electric utility company, you know it's time to be careful. So I've just kind of been pulling in my horns, and there's plenty of money out there financing large company growth and so on. And I own some CDs in banks and stuff that finance small business growth. And
we appreciate that. Won't you? We need to get some more CDs, Gary. We need some more of your money rolling around in the banks out there. Well, you know, if you look at it, Gary, that's almost on the surface. What you're saying is counterintuitive, isn't it? Because Are you? I mean, Europe is not doing very well right now, and the U.S. economy is doing pretty darn good. I know there's some frightening indicators out there right now with oil and interest rates and everything, but the U.S. companies seem to be doing pretty well.
U.S.
profits
companies.
Profits are up. They're hoarding cash. They got plenty of cash.
Yep.
The economy is growing, you know, nice and steadily. You guys are looking way out in front, aren't you?
Yeah, but that's when you be careful, Jim, and that's the hard part. And you use the word counterintuitive, and that's so terribly important, is that, you know, guys like John Templeton and I get concerned when things look too good. And that's what we have today, is super low interest rates, easy liquidity. In the early 80s, a lot of people don't realize corporate profits as a percentage of GDP were roughly 10%. They're 14% today. I mean, that's very high, 40% higher.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to ask yourself, can things get better, especially with oil prices rising, interest rates rising, and so on? And you have to say, well, maybe it won't be so easy for corporate America for things to get better. So that's when you have to be careful.
What do you think is the reason? Why do you think oil prices are so high now and going up?
This is one time conventional wisdom is correct. It's demand from China. Sir John has been saying for 15 years, Jim, that the demand from China would cause all natural resources, the demand for them would cause them to get more valuable.
And it's not just oil either, is it? I mean, concrete's another example. Steel.
Yeah, you can't get concrete here in Florida because of our demand and their demand. And somebody has said that half the construction cranes in the world are in China today. And you got that going on, not just in China, that's our focus, but all over the world, capitalism is expanding. And my last newsletter, I began by saying there's an old saying that you should be careful what you pray for, you might get it. And, you know, we prayed for capitalism to break out for a long time, and now it's happening. And we're going, oh, my gosh, what do we do now?
And what's the term, tragedy of riches? Or no, what's the word that I'm thinking of? I can't think of the term. But no, that's right. We're having so much success with capitalism that the one thing we know about capitalism is it consumes, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And our what you were saying is that our infrastructure of cranking out what capitalism needs is built on a 20th century experience, and we have 21st century experience now, don't we?
Yeah, the transition's going to be difficult for a while, but the major problem is just the imbalance of supply and demand. You know, even Karl Marx said that capitalism is tremendously productive, and you get all this production going on around the world today, and you have to wonder who's going to consume it. And then you got the poorer nations are wanting to be like the United States, which means they are saving, Jim.
Right.
Did you know the world is saving 25% of its annual income?
That's where the liquidity that American consumers are enjoying is coming from, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. And then you got easy money at home on the part of Greenspan and so on.
Not as easy as it was, though.
Well, you know, the long bond hasn't moved that much, Jim. The people watch that short-term interest rates, but the really important rate in America, the most important rate in the world, they say, is the 10-year Treasury.
To everybody but a small business owner, Gary.
Well, that's probably
we watch short-term interest rates very closely because we live in the world of prime plus.
Well, that's true. But did you know the number one source of new business startups in the country, Jim, is still the home mortgage?
That's
based on the 10-year Treasury, of course. So
well, that's true. That's a good point. That's for startups, of course.
Yeah, for startups. Yeah, and of course, startups are so terribly important for young people and so on. But you're correct. Frankly, if you think this through, Jim, it might not, from the perspective of the small business owner. In essence, a bull market in the stock market and bond market is what we call disintermediation. Money comes out of short-term deposits in the bank and goes into stocks and bonds. In the rising interest rate period right now, what we on Wall Street fear is that money will go back to the banks and sit there in 4% CDs or whatever.
Right.
And make more capital available to small business owners.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Stand by, Gary. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Gary Moore, the author of Faithful Finances 101. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
I'm so happy.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Spiritual Investments and Faithful Finances 101. All of these books, both of these books and his other books are available wherever books are sold. And his last name is Moore, like you think you would spell it, with two O's, Gary Moore. Gary, give us your website, please.
Financialseminary.org.
All right, financialseminary.org. If someone wanted to talk to you about helping them with their ethical investing, can they contact you through the website?
Sure. Yeah, right. There's all the information on there.
All right, I appreciate that. Gary, it seems that all Mr. Greenspan and his cohorts know how to do is either raise rates for, you know, 8 or 10 times in a row, or lower rates 8 or 10 times in a row.
Right.
And you know, in aviation, we call that porpoising.
Porpoising.
Yeah, you're going up and then you're going down. You're going up and you're going down. You're out of control. You're making big adjustments instead of making little bitty adjustments. The safest aircraft in the air are the ones who are making teeny tiny little adjustments so that you don't ever get very far off keel. And it seems to me that at least with regard to the Fed's behavior on short-term interest rates, that we're porpoising.
you could argue that. Others,
I just did.
Well, it's funny because a lot of the The Economist, for example, probably is more accusing of Greenspan doing incrementalism today, which is instead of doing half percentage point rises, which are a way of communicating emphatic concern about the economy, he's doing the quarter percents, which means he's tweaking it.
Right.
But, you know, he's probably pretty close to right on if everybody's mad at him.
Well, that may be so, but it seems to me that he tried to burst the stock market bubble, and he did in the late 90s and 2000 with raising interest rates. And now he's trying to do the same thing. It appears if you just stand back and watch, it looks like he's trying to do that with what he calls a housing bubble.
Well, I think he's trying to slow down some of the speculation, Jim. I'm concerned.
There is a lot of speculation out there in real estate right now. I know
there really is. Sir John is concerned about it. I wouldn't say worried about it, but concerned about it. And the reason is housing is so much more important to the economy. You know, stocks are when you have a crash in the stock market, it really only hits about 5% of Americans. But when you have a crash in real estate, it hits everybody.
But there's not going to be a national crash. There's going to be regional adjustments, regional corrections. That's what's going to happen.
Well, I think it's the old analogy that America's like a sandwich. You know, the you've got the two coasts, and you got some fluff on both coasts, and fairly serious fluff. You could have 20-30% downside. Could have. I'm not predicting that, but you could have. Yeah. But in between, I'm kind of surprised. I went up to Kentucky not long ago, where my mother lives, Jim, and was amazed at the price of real estate. It's per square foot. It's way considerably less. Probably about 40% of what it is here in my home.
Well, if there's a crash, if there's a real estate crash in Miami, it's not going to affect the people in Moline.
No, it won't. I've got a client who's a wealthy developer in the Northeast who speculates in those South Beach condos and so on. He knows what he's doing. It's not going to affect his lifestyle. The banks are going to lose a lot of money who are financing that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, they got pretty healthy margins today anyway. So
Gary, let me change subject. I got about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Where should a small business owner, other than investing in themselves, which most of us do primarily, where should we be putting our, if we have some investment dollars, you know, in our retirement plans, our IRAs and et cetera, where should we be putting our investment dollars?
You should be diversifying, Jim. In a high-risk environment, there's only one real safe form of investment, and that's to spread it everywhere. And by that, I mean, as Sir John has said over the years, get some of it out of the United States. You know, the average American has 85% of their assets in the United States, and the small business owner, it's even higher. And so if you do have an IRA, spread it around the world, get you a good global bond fund or something of that nature that will protect you if the worst happens and we have a recession. If the interest rate curve, what we call inverse, short-term interest rates goes higher than the long-term interest rates, it usually presages a recession, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, your small business is going to get hurt. We're seeing, by the way, a slowdown in the securities markets down here. I talk to brokers every day. And you don't want to bet, if you're a stockbroker, for example, you don't want to own a bunch of stocks in your IRA if in this environment. You want to be diversified outside the United States into some bonds and into commercial.
What about liquidity? What about cash?
Well, you want to stay liquid, and you know, there's people who are making arguments that cash is king these days. As you tighten credit, then that cash becomes more valuable. I don't think the average Joe is going to stop spending with interest rates, short-term interest rates at 4%, Joe. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's high enough. Rising interest rates are not bad for the market. That's another misconception. High interest rates are bad for the stock market. during a rising interest rate environment, a lot of people move from bonds to stocks. But there will come a point at which some people decide to put it in a money fund to go fishing, and that's when the trouble will break out.
Gary, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Take care, Jim. Good being
Gary
with
Moore,
you.
Ladies and gentlemen. Faithful Finances 101. That's the new book. Check it out wherever books are sold. Quick break. Right back with Sam Norwood. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.